Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Games Cast, episode 34. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Not one, not two, not three, but four salutes for my true host of the Games Cast, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
That's right. I did it. I finally rose victorious. Over the weeks, I've been doing fist fights with Tim Gettys, socially distanced,
of course.
And I finally won. He's finally out of the company. I finally taken over the host
That's
spot
it. On You're Games one of the Cast. New co-founders.
I'm one of the new co-founders. It feels great to be in that Tim Gettys spot. Also joining us, though, on this episode of Kind of Funny Games Cast, Imran, the Don Khan.
You should have pretended to be Tim instead of your color panelist. It's just gotten super weird, finally, that it's like he's been red for so long, it just went all the way.
I can do a great Tim Gettys impression.
Oh, let me see it.
What's up, guys? I'm Tim Gettys.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Nah. You gotta work a bit more.
Yeah,
it
kind
of sounded like Morty Funkhauser from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh my god, it did.
Larry.
What's up, guys? I'm Tim Gettys. And joining us is, you can find him streaming on twitch.tv/fm3_, or you can support him with his creator code on the Epic Games Store. The best hair in the business, Fran Mirabella.
On the point third. With those shout-outs. Thank you very much. Good to be back, everybody. Yeah.
Man, if I had to see one more subreddit thread, is Fran dead? Is Fran, did they have a falling
that
out?
That was the
did
only
Greg
reason.
Fire Fran?
Let's God. Just say, that was the only reason you finally had me on, is people thought I was dead.
Exactly, yeah. So I do want to give a shout-out to you.
You had to prove your life.
You remember when they started this creator code business over on that Epic Game Store, right?
Yes.
And it was just something you could do on the Epic Game Store. Fran Mirabella on Epic Game Store. I was playing Fortnite the other day, and I saw they finally, I don't know, and I'm sure this isn't a finally thing at all, but they added it to Fortnite on console that I could finally see. And I'll have you know, I immediately went in there and added you. So there
oh,
you go.
That's
Every time
nice
I buy
you,
one of
Mike.
My comic book skins on Fortnite now, you're getting 10%.
That's a huge deal. I appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of people do think it's FM3, and I wish I had that code. I've emailed them about it. There's some either system code that they tested, or there's another creator out there named that. But anyway, it's just Fran Mirabella. So thanks. Seriously, thank all the Kind of Funny best friends that have used it. It's been a huge amount of support. You guys rock. Thank you so much.
Fran, your mic's a little quiet. If you want to turn it up, that'd be great.
Kevin, I swear. Everybody, what did he say?
I'm kidding. Your mic is fine, Fran.
It's fine. It's fine. No, he's joking around. He's getting you. He's getting you.
I hate
Fran, how you been?
Don't let him in. If you let him in, he'll get you.
Kevin is FM3 late. On Epic Games Store. He's been taking
yeah,
that code.
It's yeah. probably oh what it is.
Fran, what you been up to?
A lot of streaming, man. We are on how many ever days it's been since March 8th of streaming in a row.
Oh, my God.
160-something. So,
oh, my God.
I didn't really set out to do that, but you know, I've got a lot of feedback from a lot of people, and you know, they're always waiting for me to get on later at night. Everybody wants to go to sleep, and I just put them right to bed with that.
That's
stream,
what, yeah.
So.
You get your glass of bourbon and knock them right out.
But a lot of that, and honestly, like everybody, you know, staying inside. But you know, things have changed a lot this year, so I've been focusing on that, and it's been interesting for sure. So.
Well, Fran, we're going to talk about what you've been streaming because, of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games Cast. Each and every week, we get together to talk about the biggest topics in gaming. Patreon supporters at the Silver membership or above get to watch the show live as we record it and get the full exclusive post shows. Or, of course, you can catch us on Thursdays on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or on podcast services around the globe. Shout out to our Patreon producers for this month, Mohammed Mohammed, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Skin Tight Salmon, Jeffrey P. Long, Sancho West, and James Hastings. Today we're brought to you by ExpressVPN, Full Sail University, and Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with our topic of the show. So usually for Gamescast, we talk about what we've been playing, then we get into a bigger topic. This episode is going to be a whole episode of what we've been playing because we got a big old list. And so
we've held off on it, right? That was the thing where this used to be, you know, a thing about the Gamescast. We're like, oh, we just talk about what we've been playing. And then people started being like, I hate that. So then we started doing topics. And then I saw these subreddit comments. I hate that. Why don't they talk about what they've been playing? Make up your fucking mind, people. We're just human beings like you trying to let. We invite you into our homes, our fucking homes. And all we're met with is it's not good enough.
And all
it's
I get
not
is, oh,
good
man,
enough.
The pole on Blessing's bed looks like an anal bead. It's like, I get it. You know,
it does. Wow, it really does. My God, it does look like an anal bead.
Every time somebody is like, man, what's up with Blessing's bed? And I'm like, ooh, man, you know, like I can't do anything about
man,
it. I didn't make
you know?
You be you.
Oh, man. And so
I actually demanded, I said, I'm not going to be on this episode unless we do it old school. I'm bringing back the old format that we used to do all last year. I said that I would only do it if they did it. So here we are. If you want me back and you like that format, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I've asked you guys all the games we've been playing. I took all your answers and I've shook them up. And so they're all randomized. And so I'm going to go game by game, starting with Mortal Shell. Who's the one here that's playing Mortal Shell?
That would be me.
Mortal Shell.
Wait, no, Fran raised his hand too. Fran, are you playing this?
I only played a little bit, but I expected Imran to be the expert and probably played way more than me.
So by way more, probably like an extra 2 hours, because that game came out yesterday. It is brand fucking spanking new. It showed up on both consoles and Epic Games Store. So I've been playing the PC version. It is a Souls-like, an indie Souls-like that is a little different. It has some interesting ideas, but how do I put this?
Do you like the term Souls-like for starters?
I'm about to say it sucks.
I don't know that we have a better name for it, honestly. What would you call, like,
no, Souls? I think it's super appropriate. Some people are like, oh, God, another, like, comparison to Souls. But
in the description for the game, they call it, like, deep action or something like that.
Oh,
like, if you look at the store page, they call it, like, a deep action RPG, which I kind of like.
You love deep action. Every time I come over, you're like, do you want to come into my bedroom and play some deep action? Get some deep action? I'm like, I don't know, we can play online. I don't even know if we can play it.
In every way, a Souls game, except it makes a couple of different changes. So the way I usually play Souls games is I have like big sword, a shield, and then I kind of just go in through that way. It doesn't quite do that because there's no way to describe this without it sounding real stupid, but you have a harden mechanic. And what hardening does is if you hit the left trigger, you harden your entire body for about a second, 2 seconds, and that makes you invulnerable to damage.
Nice.
And you can do this like during attacks, while you're being attacked, in the middle of a combo. It's actually a really interesting mechanic, and it has like a cooldown.
Yeah, it looks cool when you're doing it too. I also played like the first hour of it, and like when you do it while you're attacking, you essentially harden, like you turn into stone, and so for a second you're like, and then
you get
carry out
real hard for this deep action combat that they
tells you to try hardening in different places to see what happens.
You'd be shocked if you hardened.
Do you play Overwatch at all, Imran?
I used to.
Okay, well, May, basically, similar concepts. You know, she like locks up in ice. You know, it's like
right,
almost
a
defense mechanism like that for Overwatch fans.
But. Yeah, I think what the problem this thing is trying to solve is that thing in Dark Souls where you commit to an attack and the enemy is also committing to an attack and you're just maybe a half second or one or two frames late. So they're going to hit you and there's nothing you can do about it. What this does is like mid swing, it lets you just hit the button and then get hit and then finish your attack. And that's a super cool idea. I think mechanically on that level, that top level system is really cool.
Yeah, it's not the parry. That is what's interesting about it. I think I never really thought about that. I think that's super insightful. It's totally that. Is that you get these like super frustrated, like, oh, why did I swing? I'm dead, you know, and this kind of solves it. You don't have it infinitely. But to be able to like, oh crap, this, you know, I'm going to get hit because I made this half second mistake. You have one out for a brief moment in time.
Yeah, they want you to be more aggressive in this game. They want you to keep swinging your sword and then react very quickly. They don't want you to just like hold up your shield, wait for a little while, wait for them to bounce off your shield, and then you hit them. They want you to keep swinging and then react. It's a lot like Sekiro in that way. So it's a little bit more in that rhythm game style, hit, 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 block, hit, hit, hit kind of thing. The part where I think this kind of falls apart is these guys are clearly huge fans of Dark Souls. Like, they get this game they get Dark Souls on a very mechanical level. The problem is that when you're that big a fan of Dark Souls, you tend to miss some of what Souls does well in favor of, hey, we know this thing, so clearly most Souls fans, or most people who are going to play this game are going to know this thing. For example, all the items in the game have no description until you use them once. So you pick up a consumable,
at least
you have no idea what this does, which is fine for 99% of items, but sometimes it's like, hey, I need to heal, let me try this thing. Oh shit, this just poisoned me.
Like, really?
It's stuff like that. And like,
are you like, you get drunk and it ruins your agility or whatever for a while and you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I saw somebody saying they had a weapon that like they really liked and they've upgraded, and then they accidentally used an item that teleported in their old weapon, they couldn't get the old one back. So, I'm sure there's a way to do it, but the way the game kind of locks you into certain boss fights kind of makes that harder. But it's stuff like that. It's stuff like for the first hour I played the game, I took a wrong turn, didn't know where I was going, did not know what the bonfire equivalent of this game was, so I couldn't like find somewhere to rest. So I'm just kind of like slowly inching my way forward through what is essentially going to be a dead end because I didn't take the right turn in the first place. And then it wasn't until like I died and lost all my, I forget what they call it, but the equivalent of soul, tar, like that I actually ended up finding, oh wait, I should have taken this turn and then met this woman. And then I got like the parry mechanic and all that jazz over here. It's stuff like that that they clearly love Souls, but that deep abiding love for that game blinds them a little bit to how a first time player would probably go through this title.
Yeah. Like, I mean, is it fair to say that at this point From Software can kind of get away with some of that stuff, that they don't hold their hand? They got this huge base of super fans. Like, is that what you're getting at? Because Dark Souls does that, right? Like where you just are like totally like lost and confused until you sort of stumble in the right direction, right?
In some things, yes. In some things, no. Like Dark Souls, if I don't understand what a menu item does, I can't. There's a little thing that will like explain every single menu item if you hit the button. It won't explain it well necessarily, but at least give me an idea of like what the fuck tar is. On the other hand, like the beginning of Dark Souls, it's put in such a way that you are going to probably kill some non-hostile enemies on your way out the hallway out of the jail. And then once you get out of that hallway, you'll see a bonfire. And you immediately figure out, okay, I can spend souls here. This is what this does. I can. This is a checkpoint. There was not that at the beginning of Mortal Shell.
Yeah. So you're talking, if you don't mind me interrupting, I'm sorry. Is it deviating too much from what makes a Souls game is a Souls game in terms of that? Like where, because I feel like even though I like what you're talking about, I'd be pissed about it. Like, oh, my fucking old weapon's back. God damn it. Like, but like, is there a part, I would think that when you're talking about it and comparing it to a Souls game, people want that. They like trying to figure all that stuff out. And so it is a new world inspired by that world and that gameplay and that stuff. But is it just too far removed? Is it like one step beyond where you think it should be?
I think that level of obscurity in game design comes better when it's paired with the way From Software designs games because, like, this is a mean way to put it, but they're better at it. Like, they know what they're doing to make those things. Like, they're not just obscure and mean for the sake of it. They're obscure and mean to teach you a lesson. This one, it just feels like it's not. Okay, so here's a good example. There's right out. Friend, you've met the woman, right? The lady who says, like, I've kept your flesh safe.
Funny when you said, I totally understood what you were getting at in the beginning.
There's a tunnel behind her. And when you, for whatever reason in this game, when you crawl through a tunnel, it starts a cutscene. And, like, it is the cutscene of you crawling through, getting up, and then, like, moves the camera around, and then goes back behind you, and restarts your ability to, like, move the character around. For whatever reason, in this specific tunnel, there's just enemies there, behind, like, when you emerge out. And those enemies will aggro to you immediately while you're still in this cutscene. And more than once, I've been killed while this happens. I don't think this was intentional. I think this is a mistake in design. I think this is them not realizing, oh, well, people are going to come out of here very often. For whatever reason, they didn't think, like, from, like, the main hub, people will crawl out through here. So
yeah,
because
there's probably a few ways to get there. You took, like, before you got powered up and killed them, that you took the hard way.
So, like, it is a way, like, it is kind of getting stuck in this skeleton graveyard in the original Dark Souls, but you can escape from that pretty easily. And it's not that you are screwed once you get in there. It's you made a bad decision. Here, it feels like, oh, this just sucks because it's the way they designed it. There's a number of factors where they could have changed things here that would have been better.
Yeah, I think it's important to remind, not that it changes, you know, the gameplay experience, but it's like if you take From Software, probably hundreds of people developing games like Dark Souls with huge publisher backings. This is like 11 people. And they were really, it is an indie game is sort of the point. It is truly an indie game. Not as far as I know, not a monstrous budget, only 11 people. They actually have some background, as I understand it. A few people, or at least one person came from Ghost Tsushima a while ago from that team. This game started in 2017. I think it's Cold Symmetry is the name.
Cold Symmetry, yeah.
But meaning because it's small, I think, again, it doesn't change the frustration, but worth noting that, yeah, probably that was an unintended like side effect. And there's things like that. What I see, at a base is They said, if you like Dark Souls and you're starving for these like deep action survival, you know, RPGs.
Yeah.
If you're starving for that, we're going to give it to you. And yes, we're going to be pretty mysterious and pretty hardcore, because actually I think the experience is only, you know, 15, 20 hours, depending on how you play. I've heard that it probably really varies depending on how you play it. But I think because of that, they were like, you could get lost in the very beginning. And it's funny to hear you say that, because I almost did. And I happened to just go the right direction and found basically how to start my abilities and have some fun right away. I can't imagine what it was like for some people who win an hour, like you're saying, and are like, what am I doing? I'm just like hacking away at the same enemies for a while. So, but that's what you can expect, you know, expect that level of like hardcore play if you want to get into this game. It's not going to hold your hand.
I've heard it gets a lot better over time. Like, it's just this first area just kind of sucks, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Is there like a shell mechanic or something like that? Because when I was playing, I noticed that there was a certain point where I came across essentially like a suit of armor on the ground, or like I think it was a person in a suit of armor, and then I went and I clicked a button and then I became that person. What is up with that mechanic?
I just found my, so they're basically builds. They're basically like, this guy is the knight, this guy is the knight with a broadsword, something like that. So it's not like your Dark Souls thing where you're just putting you're raising small numbers to figure out what weapon you want and kind of building from there. It is, okay, this is the guy with a larger sword, so I'm going to use him for a while. You can switch between the different shells and they have different skills. You can't like actually do any of that until you like learn their names, which I think is a cool concept, but it does make that early game a little bit harder. But yeah, that's, you are essentially a thing inhabiting different dead bodies, and that's a cool idea. It is it's one of the several cool ideas in the game. Like when you're about to die, the game just kicks you out of that body, and you have one hit left. So if you can get back into that body before the enemy kills you, then you get all your health back. And I think that's a very smart idea.
Yeah.
But also it kind of exposes some of the jank of that, because nearly every time that's happened, it's been, oh, the enemy hit me into the wall and it broke lock on, and now I need to scramble to get back into my body, but the camera is stuck in such a way that makes it very hard for me to figure out where to go from here. It's small things like that. And I want to keep playing the game, because I think it does get better. And I think those ideas are extremely interesting. It's just like this immediate thing, which I'm willing to admit comes from the fact that I really love Dark Souls. So the ways in which it's not like Dark Souls piss me off, and the ways in which it is like Dark Souls, it is not as good, also kind of piss me off. So I want to like get over that hump and then see what this game has to offer on its own.
Do you think you have, and I know I use this very loosely, do you have objective eyes, you think, or an objective take on it, removing the Dark Souls fandom from you? Like, is it like going to appeal to those players? Is it just, it's just not that good, but it's like serves its purpose kind of thing?
I think for what the game is, like a $30 like Souls, like from an indie team, as Fran mentioned, like 11 people, like,
yeah.
I think it absolutely holds up as a very good game, but I think if you're looking for a Dark Souls replacement, and I think it's probably like Elden Ring's not out, we haven't seen shit from it, so that's kind of like compounding how much I want this game to be the thing I want and not the thing that it necessarily is. I think that's kind of factoring in. So it's difficult for me to say that I'm being entirely objective about it.
Okay.
But
yeah.
When I do play it, I get more frustrated because I want strategy X to work, because strategy X works in Dark Souls. Then it doesn't. I'm like, is it that this game isn't that, or is it that this game sucks? It's hard to figure out the line between that two.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know me. I'm coming from a different perspective. I played some Demon Souls. I've seen plenty of Dark Souls to understand, you know, what it is. But it's been on my list. Same with Bloodborne. But then I played Sekiro New Game Plus. You know, both. I played it twice. So I'm no stranger to the survival, just brutal survival nature of these
deep
games.
Action.
But the deep action. But what I'd say, honestly, I feel super confident that, again, as if you're a fan and you just it's dry out there for these types of games, I think you'll really enjoy it. But understand it's an indie game, and yeah, I think you actually hit the nail on the head with some optimism there, Imran. Is that I think you got to get a bit farther into it. Yeah, it's really not until you get these mortal shells that you hop into and you start to notice their play styles are very different. You have to use tar to upgrade. So the way it works is like a dial in the center of this. You know, it's like a dial of abilities, and you're just upgrading all these nodes for each shell that cost a ton of tar. So you're out there grinding out tar, killing enemies, coming back being like, oh, like an example, this isn't a major spoiler. It's like one ability of the first shell, I think, that you get you can harden, and it has a chance to heal you as well. And so you start to create these paths because you can go in any direction. It's not like other skill trees, a little different than something like Avengers, which I think we're talking about, where there's sort of some paths and things you have to get to do it. You can pretty much, if you want to earn 5,000 tar in the beginning and spend it on this one thing because it looks cool to you, you can do that. So yeah, I think until you get in and start using some of these things, learning how to parry, it has a riposte as well, so you can heal yourself. So it has, it definitely seems like it has depth, but it's, I doubt it's going to have the complexity and length of something like Dark Souls, you know.
I will say, upon my first hour playing it, I think my takeaway was, oh man, this game has a cool style, and I like some of the unique things it's doing. I'm going to go back to Bloodborne. Like, the more I played it, the more I was like, I'm just going to go back to Bloodborne, because it seems like between these different types of Souls games, trying to devote myself to a new one, I feel like it's going to take me way out of the old one, because it seems like it's just different enough mechanically from Bloodborne, and I don't want to like ruin Bloodborne for myself by like playing this and then trying to go back and kind of doing like the Breath of the Wild Horizon thing that I did for myself years ago. And so like that's kind of been my takeaway so far, but it looks cool. Like, it looks really awesome.
You didn't beat Bloodborne yet, is why, right?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I got like...
I mean, I didn't either, but...
Yeah.
Just for clarity, meaning, yeah, you finish that before you introduce another confusing, you know, mechanical...
Exactly.
...Souls-like game.
I will say, that's the right call. There's an item called the loot, which is hilarious and amazing. Because, so, obviously, these type of games, you want to draw enemies towards you. And you don't want to, like, jump into a big group of enemies and start swinging and hope for the best. This one... there's no like toss a stone at them or anything like that. What you do is you have a loot that you can like pull out and start playing. And every item in the game, you get more familiar with the more you use it. The more you use the loot, the first time you use it, you're like strumming on it like a big dumb fingers, like you have no idea how to fucking play it. And it like will draw enemies towards you pretty much. And by the end, you're basically dueling banjos. And it's the
awesome.
It's great.
Awesome.
And it like pulls for enemies further away. And it's like, you can also hear enemies play lutes, and it's a good way to like, oh, there must be a camp over there, like full of bandits. And once the loot is on the ground, you just kick it around and it still makes guitar sounds, which has no gameplay point, but it's just funny. that's a kind of like dumb, I'm not even dumb, like a smart distinction of something to do. There's actually like, it adds personality to that game that's not just Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Destiny 2 Soulstice. Who's the one playing this game? I assume it's Greg.
It's me. I was going to say, let me tell you. All right.
Greg's
so what's
all
happened.
Over.
The Traveler has developed great big googly eyes. And we got to figure out how to help it get these eyes off its face, man.
That's the big objective. Yeah, just a quick note, I guess, for Destiny fans that maybe haven't hopped in for a while. But it is the Soulstice event, which is, you know, they're it's really... it's a combination of things. It's the end of the yearly, you know, seasonal releases. So it's a free event for players, you know, to play, but it has some pay for elements if you want to upgrade like some ornaments.
So,
but
I'm assuming it's a case of Destiny's year starts in September, and so August is usually the solstice. Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the last thing to do to celebrate the year is really what the idea is behind it. So really, it's not like a bunch of new story stuff. And it literally is go in and you can earn this really cool set of armor that glows. And you can grind out all the usual stuff that you do in Destiny. And in the negative side, it's what they've been doing for the last few years. It's the same events. You got to go do public events. You got to go do patrols. You got to play Gambit. Gambit is a PvE/PvP mode. You got to do 10 of those matches. And so it is a grind, but you get a really cool looking set of armor that you can then take forward for about the next year. So, you know, it was just a quick note that it's happening. If you haven't done it, you have till September 8th. And the quick review is you're not in for anything new. The main reason, if you are a player though, and are thinking, should you do it? You can, if you spend a lot of hours, you know, probably upwards of call it 15 hours or 20 hours playing this event, you can get armor that will last you through the next expansion, with potentially good rolls. Not that the next expansion isn't going to have that stuff though. So there's not like a huge reason to play it other than that and looking cool.
Sorry, go for it.
No, that was mostly it.
Gotcha. I was gonna say, speaking of Destiny likes, or I guess games as a service, the Avengers beta. Who's been playing that?
I've been playing the PC beta was this past weekend, so I
and I gotta hear this. Like. Here's I think Andy's filming something else right now. Otherwise, I would call his bitch ass up on the phone and hold it up to the speaker so he could hear you say loud and clear, "Don't play it on PC. Play it on PS4 with Greg." Because the atrocities I've seen both you and Fran post out of this beta on PC. He's like, ooh.
I'm gonna use Emmerich's favorite term. It's a beta. Come on, give it time. A few weeks.
I'm sure the Saints portal ports ago.
We don't know.
I don't see it getting better in the next 3 weeks, honestly.
It definitely I know Greg, you saw my tweet where this was just some random bug where I was playing and there was voice chat coming through and I was like, wait, I didn't do matchmaking. And the AI is clearly, you know, not doing anything. It's just standing around.
Bannering all of a sudden,
some guy's like, dude, it was so cool. And I like picked up the car and there was this part and I was like streaming. I was like, what? I was like, do I have a window open? And I was hearing, unfortunately.
Is the window open and somebody's walking by also talking about Avengers?
Exactly. And so anyway, it was a weird server bug that I was getting voice chat from somebody else. It was very scary.
Terrifying.
Very scary to think you're alone playing with your friends. So I'm sure they're well aware of that stuff. But it just beyond that playability, which I'm sure you'll get into on PC, was not going well. It started off looking okay, but then it just had a bunch of like weird bugs, like some audio bugs. It was not stable at all. The frame rate is not good. It looks like it's going to get
like frame skips during movies, like actual CG cutscenes. It was skipping frames.
Slowdown. It had load-in issues, frame and stuff, and it kind of got worse and worse. But I did get a good look at the core experience, and so I'm happy that I got a look at the game, you know?
Yeah, that game, the PC port, which is from Nixxes, who does a lot of Square Enix's ports, isn't great. Like, it's just, like as Fran mentioned, a bunch of technical problems, a bunch of bugs, and I don't know, it's...
It's concerning.
I'm comparing it to the PS4 version, which also didn't necessarily run great, so... But it runs...
It runs.
This one has had like major problems. I was getting display driver crashes, which could have been my rig, but it wasn't happening to any other game. And I play on my PC a lot, so I don't have a weak rig. I have a pretty decent rig, and Avengers was just causing the buckle, which makes me think that port is not optimized that well. That doesn't mean by retail time, by release time, it's going to be that bad. But right now, I would say that if you have a choice between PC and PS4, and you're like waffling between those two, there's not a good reason to go one or the other, I would maybe go PS4 instead.
Andy Cortez, listen to what he just said. Play on PlayStation 4 with me. I don't give a shit about who gets the money. I just want people to play with.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I legitimately was thinking of the benefit of PS4 because it also has Spider-Man in it.
True.
And if you can carry forward, and I don't think they've commented on this, your save, if there's PS5 version, right? I assume.
There's.
Yeah, can you carry your save forward? Yeah. Doing
PS5 and PS5, PS4, and Xbox One, Xbox Series X is what they're confirmed and are working on.
Oh, so both of them should be able to.
They talk about cross generation this year. Hopefully, cross platform one day.
So like on that front, next thing you know, you got a very equivalent or better looking experience to what we're seeing on PC. Plus, you got the save. So I mean,
Digital Foundry, right? Did just yesterday, 2 days ago, a story I saw on the subreddit for Avengers, which was like. They were making this argument that they think it's actually built for next gen, or it's in a really good place for next gen because it looks like shit on a base PS4. It looks better on a Pro, but like the scalability options they're seeing in there make it look like it's going to be fine.
Yeah. They were saying Xbox One is Xbox One, Xbox One X looks like different generations, which I watched the video and they're right. That game does not run well on a base Xbox One.
Yeah,
that's my main issue because I'm playing that game on a base PS4 and I'm like, ooh, this seems rough. Like, this doesn't seem like where it should be for this type of game.
Yeah, like even on the PS4 beta, it was like I got some occasional frame drops, especially when you're being the Hulk doing Hulk things with four of the characters around or three of the characters around.
Oh, yeah.
It's this this one was like that all the time.
The bug I kept seeing on. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was having Hulk in my party, like not even playing as Hulk being there and doing like his ultimates or doing his special moves would cause my session to chug. And that seemed like a very big problem, like no pun intended. But I played a lot. Having one of the main characters do that is not
It's going to be interesting what that launches and looks like, because I've played a lot of PlayStation 4, and the bugs I saw reoccurring the most was, you know, obviously Kamala Khan stretches, and, you know, you can do a whole bunch of different shape-shifting stuff. And I had it multiple times in different play sessions where somebody who's playing as her would stretch and do something, and then their arm would be stuck to, like, that vector the rest of the time. So they'd be running around miles away, and it would still be this giant arm tethered back to it. And it wasn't doing anything in their game. I'd be like, oh my God, I was playing with Scott Lowe. I was like, holy shit, Scott. He's like, I don't see that. I'm like, all right, cool. And then the other one I had, reoccurring bug in terms of visual fidelity. Well, I guess I only saw it like once or twice, but it was it came out of something and Kamala had no hair for a little bit, and then it popped in. And I'm like,
That happened to me too.
Yeah,
I was going to say, for what it's worth, if they can get the PC build where it needs to be before next gen comes out, it does look solid. Sometimes I feel
you
like
also get that ability to turn motion blur off on PC, which I know a lot of people have been demanding on console.
But I was gonna say, like, it looks, sometimes I feel like it looks really good, especially in the mission stuff where I think they knew where you'd be going and how to design, you know, the art and everything. And other times the worlds look a little like devoid of personality, and so whatever the case, like, it actually does look pretty good when it's running well. So I, you know, I'd love to play it at 60 frames a second.
Maybe you should come play on PlayStation 4, not fuck me over like you did in Borderlands.
But I'm definitely, I am considering it for sure on the front of like making it to PS5, especially if you get into a game like that. Being
how much
to
we could stream together, Fran. When I stream together, I mean, I just
now
stream
Greg's speaking my heart. That $12
Apple
like,
pie, you know what I mean?
$12 made on Borderlands, right?
There you go. We'll double that to 24. Don't worry about it. The other bug I remember that I was seeing a lot, not a lot, but I mean frequently enough that it happened multiple times, was T-poses where it'd be like, we're running to something else, then Black Widow just slides by. Somebody else is controlling her, but she just comes through like this.
You
like,
got
okay.
on PS4, right?
Yeah, PS4 Pro.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think the game all around has its fair share of performance issues and bugs. I think PC had a bad shake at it because it was sort of, you had this lofty like, oh, sweet, I can't wait to try the PC version because it's going to run better, it's going to look better. And then it also had its issues and some weird issues that you get when you have different PCs, different drivers. I'm just going to put out there, and I would love to know how you all feel. I've seen this happen in the past. It feels like Crystal Dynamics is being pushed into this September release date, hell or high water, and they got to put it out, and it's just not ready yet. And we're going to go through months of like improvements.
Well, dude, like Imran, you're even more connected to the back channels of shit, but maybe I am on superhero games. I don't fucking know. But like, this is a game that's been delayed publicly, obviously, but I'd heard before this it was delayed too. Like, this is supposed to have been out a while ago. And so I'm sure there gets to be a point where Marvel Games looks at Square and they're like, fucking put this game out. It's time to fucking go to print on this thing.
I mean, they're cut in a weird position because like next gen systems are coming out, and like the big thing about this game is it's not just Marvel too. I think like Sony and Microsoft are pushing them a little too because they expect this game to be big. And where you buy this now on your Xbox One or your PS4 is going to be where you buy your next gen console. So like if you're really into this game, you're like, well, I want to play with my friends still. You're gonna buy the PS5 or the Xbox Series X because you want to keep going. And I think they're probably getting it from all ends on this one. And I kind of get the feeling when playing this game that I got from like Jedi Fallen Order a little bit, like, oh, they pushed this out hot. This was not going to be coming this soon. I am a little worried about matchmaking, to be honest. Like
matchmaking?
Yeah. I got to play multiplayer on PC. I didn't get it with the PS4 beta because we were playing that one a little early.
Yeah.
But this one, it feels so specific of what specific page you have to be on, screen you have to be on to get into a thing.
it's so unintuitive.
And that's like if I can chime in, because this is one of the things I was originally going to talk about in terms of playing it, right? Where I think I've talked enough about playing Avengers that I'm in. I know I'm, and I go, you know, the thing is it going to be a fucking 6? Is it going to be a 7? I don't fucking know. You know, I think you're going to get a wide smattering of scores here, and some are going to be truly unkind to it, and not even like because they're dicks, justifiably so. The things that I'm overlooking to have a good time in the game, others won't be. But this weekend, it was me having conversations with the people I'm playing with, and it's the game that is, all right, cool, we're a game of service. You know, we're learning from everything that's happened from Destiny, from Anthem, from Fallout, from all these different experiences, right? Even Borderlands, right? And to be in this world playing with other people, and my problems were, why can't I ping? Like, Apex Legends obviously put pinging on the map, but there's always been some version of that, even a way dialed down, right? The ability that I can't, I'm like, there's a treasure chest over here, and it's like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, and then I look at where there should be a compass, and there's no 263 north or whatever. I'm like, I'm by the question mark that to me is 263 away, but that's not what you see. I'm over here. Like, it's in a game, again, back to like, you know, the comparison of like Borderlands 2 of like, or Borderlands as well, right? Of like how I think they did so good at loot sharing and all that jazz. This weird thing of I was playing, you know, over the weekend, and I was playing as Iron Man, and my compatriots were Kamala and Hulk, right? And it was Goldfarb and our friend Sean, and we were out there playing, and it was this thing of I'm Iron Man, so I'm just flying fucking far as hell away from them, and they don't know exactly where I am. And then there was a bug where my icon was just off no matter what. But even when we were close, I was like, oh man, there's a treasure chest. And like, where? And I'm like, at the top of this giant pyramid thing, or a giant tower I'm standing on. And I open it, and they're like, all right, well, since you can't ping it for us, like, don't leave. And I'm like, all right. So I stood there and had to wait for them to run and jump and climb the fuck up there. It's like, let me open it, and then we all get the nanites. I don't need whatever explanation you need that everybody needs to walk over and kick the box and open the box. Like, there's so many little quality of life things that I just don't understand why they were like, they couldn't look at the competition and be like, oh.
Yeah. I had one where I was playing with randoms, and we were doing a mission. I was Iron Man. The other person was Kamala. And we were doing a mission where we had to destroy, like, some turrets in a base. Or not turrets, sensors, whatever. Big things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I call out the Hulkbuster armor, which is Iron Man Ultimate. And it sits there because, like, I didn't super understand what you had to do with this. Yeah. As I was trying to get towards it, the Kamala just gets in there and just fucks off. Just, like, leaves. And I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I guess I'll have to just ping at this armor for a little bit, or this big thing, and shoot at it for a while.
Yeah. That is meant to be a cool feature, but in that instance, it did fuck you over, yes. I like the idea of being able to call it down or whatever for other people. But it's, I don't know, like, you know how I am. I'm famous for being naive and believing the best of people in games or whatever. I will be interested to see on launch how much of this has changed, because there was some interview somewhere that was making the rounds, whether it would be Twitter and people sent it to me, or the Reddit, and it was like a quote from one of the devs being like, you have to understand, even for us, it's so painful to look at the beta right now, because things are changing on the daily. So you look at something that is that old and you're like, oh god, and you see all you can see is the problems, and it's like,
yeah,
that's great lip service. Like, is that actually going to pan out? Am I going to turn it on and there's a fucking compass and I can ping or something? Probably not, but you hope the bugs aren't there and yada yada.
Yeah, we're looking at 2 weeks until this game comes out, and like, I bet 2 months from now it's going to be a radically different game.
Oh yeah.
But like, just based on what we've played, I'm going to enjoy this game because it's an Avengers game and I like the Avengers.
Totally.
How much the actual game part has to do with that is going to be an entirely different question.
Question for you. I have one for you before we switch off, Blessing, if you don't mind. If you don't mind.
Go for it. No, do your thing.
Imran and everybody, but Imran, you had brought this up, right? That they're banking on this to be big. Do you think it's going to be big? Like, is Avengers going to be a big deal for a while? Do you think it's something that flares out? How much does Spider-Man matter? Are people still going to be playing it in this giant amount, you think?
It's kind of a weird question because, like, honestly, COVID has thrown a lot of things out the window in terms of what we can expect and what they expected about it.
Yeah.
They probably didn't. On one hand, there hasn't been an MCU movie in a year.
Right.
So maybe that, like, has waned a little bit. We have no idea because there's no, like, data for it. On the other hand, maybe there's pent-up desire to play a bunch of Marvel stuff because they haven't been able to restart the MCU because there's been no theater movies.
Sure.
I suspect it'll depend a lot on reviews. And if reviews come out really, really bad on it. Like, I'm expecting 7s, 8s. Like,
oh, right. I'm thinking 7, and I'm thinking there'll be some 6s.
I'm thinking 6s.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 to 8 that's is a wider, like
a wider range, yeah.
If it goes on the lower end of that or below that, then I think this game is going to end up being a big miss for Square Enix. It's going to cause, like, this is, I think somebody from Square Enix told me this is one of their biggest projects money wise in years.
I believe that, yeah.
So if it doesn't turn out to be like a huge thing, I think they're probably just going to cut their loss and go like, okay, this is not going to last 5 years. It'll last a couple of years and then we'll move on.
Yeah.
I expect that winter holiday and next gen stuff is going to help it, but who knows? We'll see. The lack of like a big games as a service title for next gen is pretty blatant.
I can't believe we've had a beta as extensive as you've had already with Avengers, right? With so much different content, and there's single player missions, and then there's the multiplayer stuff, and these different heroes, and here's what your battle pass looks like, and all that crap. There's so much of that has happened, and again, like you said, we're 2 weeks from launch, and there still is this question of like what this game's actually going to shake out like. Because again, What I've played, I can't wait for. Like, and I think a lot of it, to your point, is COVID, right? Of like, there aren't events anymore to look forward to. There aren't movies to look forward to. So like, I'm really jazzed up about this, and I think a lot of people are really jazzed up about it. But I've been shocked by the number of my friends in the industry who pre-ordered the game just to do the beta. And then when I play with them, it is that thing where it's one of those games you play and you're like, oh God, my arm's wigging out. Oh, the matchmaking's so good. Do you want to play another 5 hours? Yes, I do want to play another 5 hours. And it's like, it's those, you know what I mean? Of like, what does that shake out in a review, in a meta score? What does that look shake out when you're talking about people who are on the fence and don't know if they're into it? Like, all the you know, leaks in terms, or leaks in quotes, but you know, data mining of who the next 15 characters and shit, like they have 15 characters. So is that going to be a character a month? Is that going to be two characters every 90 days? Like, is that enough that if it is that they are improving the game and making these little quality of lives? Because I don't think the gameplay is off the rails. I think the core of the game and being them is fun and enjoyable. I think having actual hours committed as you go through those skill trees and actually learning the combos and when having that moment instead of where it is for me right now of like, oh, I got a skill point, I want to get back to my friends, whatever, put it there and I just go back to the game. When you're actually going through and crafting it and seeing some of the crazy combos people are doing online, I think that's going to be good. But it is that thing of how much built on top of that is it repetitive like people are worried about in terms of the actual maps and missions, and you're doing the same things of defending these terminals while you fight these things, and that's not fun. Is that fun? What, but the dailies and, you know, weeklies are the only ways to unlock the battle pass outside of real money, you assume, and the transactions. Are people mad about that, or because they just want to main one character, or are they trying to play all the Avengers?
I think that's going to be an issue too. Like, you mentioned two characters every 90 days, like, it's a good possibility. That's the fact that there's no duplicate characters is going to really fuck that over. Like, that's,
sure, let's say, oh, yeah.
Doctor Strange comes out in 2 months. I'm going to want to log in to play as Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So the fuck is everyone else?
Dude, like, think about it. When everybody's like, oh, Spider-Man in 2021. And it's like, yeah, so that means what? For the first at least 2 weeks of that, you will be unable to get a match with anybody else because all of your friends are going to be running Spidey and trying to figure that out. And I think, again, when I look at it and how they do it, I kind of, or how they've laid it out, because I think too much about this game, I kind of get what they're doing in terms of the foundation of it, right? Because if you have looked at the battle pass, like, you can spend the purple credits, which I assume we can buy with real money to do whatever you want for it. But to actually earn the currency to go through, you're getting it through the daily and weekly quests. But that means that, you know, there's two things for you to do as the character, right? Of Iron Man or Black. But then you go, but I think the idea is that you're not maining Iron Man. You're trying to play everybody. And so when Spidey drops, you'd imagine those first off, if there's still a huge hardcore audience for it, or just a hardcore group, a group that wants to play it, you imagine that's a system of, cool, let me run a mission as Spidey. All right, cool, let me run it. And you panned it off that way. If you're randomly matchmaking and you don't have a team for it, that's going to be a nightmare. But if you have a squad, like, you know, people ask me who am I maining, and I always name four characters because those will be the four that I'm pulling through nonstop. And when I do join anybody's random game, I'll always have an option to have one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the best case scenario for this game, I think, is like, in a year, it's going to be like Sea of Thieves. Like, they really pulled it together. Wow. That, like,
oh yeah,
it'll be a thing you do on, like, with your friends every couple of nights a week, and like, oh, it's just a fun thing. Well, we're catching up and we're talking while playing this game.
Sure.
I think it's not going
to
be.
This very much strikes me as this game is almost too big to fail in a way where I can't imagine a big old Marvel's Avengers game comes out and lands on a thud and nobody pays attention to it. Like, I can't imagine it comes out and it is Anthem, even if it comes out with Anthem quality. Like, I think at worst this game comes out and has maybe a rough launch, maybe a rough few months, and then ends up like Sea of Thieves, where a year from now we're looking back and people, like, there is a community there. People are playing the game because it's Avengers. I think they have more space to come back.
This is always the fun thing. You're all welcome to take down the time code right now. I don't think they can Anthem this, because I think the problems people had with Anthem aren't what you're seeing here. Maybe there's going to be super long loads when you get the real game. Maybe the story completely falls apart, but the single player story, right, seems really cool. And the voice cast they have for it, I think, speaks to the fact they're trying on it and they are Crystal Dynamics, and whether they can do that with a passing of the baton perspective, who knows? It's more, I think, I think the gameplay is fun. So it's more, I think, you get to this thing of, is it going to be mission variety that drives it up? Is it going to be this, that there isn't a multiverse answer? Because you'd imagine, right? Like, that's when they want to, maybe even for, it would make sense for Spider-Man in 2021. that the way they introduce him is, hey, guess what? There's a multiverse, which now means there can be four Spider-Mans on a team. There can be, you know, it is an Into the Spider-Verse storyline, which then opens it up that all the custom Hulks and Black Widows you have, you can have a team of four Hulks that don't look, I mean, they could all look the same, but they don't have to look the same and go that way. But I also think, I mean, and this is me, obviously, as somebody firmly in the PlayStation audience and not somebody who is up that much on Xbox, I would think this is going to do better than Sea of Thieves in a year. I would think.
Like in terms of like numbers? And
in terms of, I think even Sea of Thieves now.
I'll say, yeah.
Numbers and then public perception. Because I think
I don't mean sales. I mean in terms of like just public, you know, like you said, public perception, like just a fun little thing to hang around with, not actually a thing anyone's taking super seriously.
I'm going to take it super seriously.
Yeah, it's so hard to say, and you'd have to make assumptions, and I know we got to move on. But like games like this, we didn't get to see in the beta what the end game is, which is the whole point.
Sure, great point.
It's got to be more than...
I watched Endgame like 2 years ago.
well played.
Everybody's got fucking
It's jokes. Got to be, you know, more than unlocking a character's skill tree. I can't imagine that. And I actually... That was the most positive stuff I had to say about it. I was actually really impressed as, you know, a fan of these types of games. I was like, dang, like, whatever. 12.6% PIM particle ability.
Yeah, right, right.
And having to
build your gamma radiation bill.
Yeah, we only got, you know, uncommon and, you know, blue armor. Like, we didn't get any, maybe we got
a few
purples.
But
I don't even know if we got purples or legendaries or yellows exactly. So, where that goes, but also don't they have like a raid type thing that I think is coming? And I thought somebody had mentioned that to me, and I was like, really? That surprised me if that's true. So I don't know. But
I have to imagine, yes, they will.
They have.
I don't
know. You'll make a Destiny like kind of raid.
I think especially as that roster fills out, if you get it to 15 people and then you're like, all right, now we're doing an 8-player raid for something huge, that seems like the Avengers Assemble moment, right?
Yeah, this but game, that... I mean, it's this game being a games as a service, right? Like it's in it for the long battle, or as some would say, an Infinity War. We got a transition though.
Okay, headline from Screen Rant is just Marvel's Avengers will have raid like missions sometime after launch.
There you go. Fran, did you have one more point to make?
No, just you nailed it with that transition. Let's go with it.
Thank you. Enough about bugs. Let's talk about beans. Fall Guys. Who's been playing Fall Guys?
I've been
I've played Fall Guys.
I think we've all been playing Fall Guys. What a fun game, man.
Totally. Right?
Like the game is really fun.
Yeah, slime climb can get fucked. Everything else is great.
Slime climb's fine. It's egg scramble. That is the worst.
That sucks. Tail grab sucks.
Anything involving tails
get
is
rid
terrible.
Of those
anything with the teams, I hate.
Here's the thing. I don't understand.
There,
if I
like
egg
half the team.
Wrong. Like when I get into egg scramble, there's like a 50-50 shot. If I go into one of those other bases to grab some eggs, I'm just never getting out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just the jumps don't work. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I can't get out. It just sometimes I just can't land.
You got to defend your own camp.
I see people running for front. I see people who are trying to stop me hopping up with eggs, no problem, on the stairs. And then I try to do it and I can't. So then I'm throwing them and I'm trying to get up there. I look like a clown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, I know they were not prepared, I think, for this level of success. Pretty amazing. I'm so happy to see it. You know, every time I look at games like this, I always, of course, as my fandom goes, I think of Nintendo and I'm like, Nintendo, like, why didn't you just like put this together? You have the money.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the resources, but they're so like, I don't know, seemingly afraid of online. And they also don't like to, you know, follow in the footsteps. But meaning you just see so much potential of these goofy battle royale games like this. And props to them. You know, I think it's left everybody very hungry for more stuff like this. It's such a nice, refreshing break from like shooting the crap out of everybody in other games. And I'm sure they didn't know, and this really paves the way for so many others. You know, I think all these battle royales probably sitting there trying to get greenlit because they're so different. I immediately thought of a game like Humans Fall Flat or Human Fall
sure.
Flat.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you can have so much fun, you know, if you can put the resources into games like
what,
that. So
what do you guys feel like the post-launch now for Fall Guys looks like? Because like I feel like we've sat and theorized a little bit of, okay, yeah, they can add more games or add more skins. This game now
Blessing's dead, everybody.
The Fall Guy.
See you later.
What a cliffhanger.
There it is. He's the clown. He's the Fall Guy. You know what I mean?
Pretty bigger at this point.
See if he
right?
Comes
like,
back.
Where Fall Guys go.
Blessing,
Blessing
is the team.
You're
yellow.
Breaking up real bad.
Are you guys still there? I got froze up.
Come in? Yeah, no, we noticed. Yeah.
We can hear you, though.
You hear
repeat
us.
Repeat the question.
Oh, there he goes. Good. No, I've been saying for a while we didn't need him. That, you know, Kevin. The real host.
Tim
is
getting his revenge. And...
Tim's hacking the system. He drove by with an EMP outside Blessing's house. Drop
there
it
he
now.
Is.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Oh god, that was scary. That was very scary. I was talking and then I heard a bunch of voices and then everything cut.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
What the last thing you see before you die?
Yeah.
So yeah, you were asking what's the post-launch life?
Yeah. What do you guys think? Like, or what is your guys' vision for what post-launch looks like for Fall Guys?
I don't know. Like, obviously, more games is the main thing, but beyond that, like, do they separate the team games off into their own mode? Which I know people have been requesting. People joke about it, but I think like that would kind of people need. I think the player base comes to the idea that this game is inherently unfair, and you will just get screwed, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's true, but they need a solo queue. That was my biggest point of feedback. Like, totally get it. Getting put on the yellow team because you're solo and losing a ton because, like, you're not on a team and you're facing people on a team who can communicate sucks. Absolutely sucks, especially as well when you think about the design of games like Egg Scramble, where it's designed for teamwork and like it's never gonna work and it's super frustrating. You know, it is a goofy game and I get that, take it at face value, but honestly the game would rock if it had more focus on solo queue as well as team queue, separating those games out, designing more stuff that fits in those quad, you know, in those two areas at least.
I think the future, right, like you're talking about, obviously is more games. I think it is the crazy costumes, whether it be, you know, the one they're doing right now of who can get the donation and get it in. I think they'll eventually start inking some deals and having that crossover. Of course, Shirtless Spider-Man should be there. But then I do think another big thing for it is going to be private matchmaking. Like, I think especially with the success they're seeing on Twitch with huge audiences, like, it makes sense to have, even if you call it streamer mode, right? That would be, hey, everybody, I'm putting out this, you know, the private code to get, or the password to get into my Fall Guys game. And then you'd have 60 people who are watching you on Twitch, or, you know, for us, best friends or Patreon or whatever. Or even if you have just 60 friends and you want to do something, like I'm sure Gary would love to do with his weird second talk show now. Like, I feel like that's that. But it's also, I think, going to be a struggle because they have lightning in a bottle. And how do you feed that without, you know, totally saturating it and having it go away? Like, I think since when the Fall Guys launch happened and it was such a thing, there were these conversations on Games Daily and PS I Love You, right? Of like, this is cool. How long is it going to last? How long is it going to last? And I think even now, Fall Guys are obviously insanely popular, but it is that point where I see less and less people talk about it. I see less and less clips being shared. I know it's still being played, obviously. We're all still playing it. But it is that thing, especially as we get into fall and more games start hitting. Is this just a moment in the sun for them, or is it going to be like more like Animal Crossing, which is still continuing and people are still obsessing about?
Yeah, I don't think there's a simple answer to things they can add that will like revitalize it. It will get people who are still playing to be like, oh yeah, I'm not tired of this yet. But I would not be shocked if, let's say, at least 30% of the audience has already fallen off.
Sure.
And just like, okay, yeah, this is a fun thing. I got it for free for PS Plus, or my friends were playing it on Steam and it was cheap enough for me to buy it. But I'm not interested in playing it anymore because there's other games coming out, or school is starting again, or things like that that become issues of time or just bore or repetition.
I think even the fact that it stops feeling new playing the game. Like, that was my big thing playing the beta is after about an hour, I was like, cool, I think I played most of the mini games that are here. And when the full game came out, you know, it took me like a day or so before I was like, yeah, I've experienced all the games and I'm going to keep playing because the game continues to be fun. It continues to be a great thing to do with friends. But after a certain point, like, it's not like like a Rocket League or FIFA, where even though it's the same game every time, you are kind of interacting within the game in new dynamic ways, right? Like, it's not a battle royale where every time you jump in the match, it's something different. For the most part, Fall Guys stays the same.
And that's the thing about it, right? Where I look at, you know, for the longest, I guess still technically, but like when we were playing at launch and streaming launch, it's like, man, I want that hot dog costume. But like, it's the first part unlocks at level 19, and I feel like I'm leveling so slowly. Yeah. And then I see people who are still sharing stuff, and it's like they're level 35, and I'm like, wow, I played for a while. In my head, like, all right, let's make some progress. And after a few games, I'm kind of like, all right, I'm gonna go play something else. I'm gonna go do something else, right? It isn't, to your point, Bless, the same experience I get out of Fortnite. Where in Fortnite, granted, and we'll say with just one season, not comparing, or chapter, or no season, not comparing it to like overall, right? To Fall Guys one launch, like, It is that you drop and you play, and maybe you discover a new area, you get a new gun, maybe you don't. You're just playing with what you know, but you feel that, I got killed too early, or oh, I got really close, or oh, I see this little bit of improvement, or I chipped away at one of the 19 fucking challenges that are there happening right now in the moment. Whereas with Fall Guys, it is like, okay, I understand a bit better when to jump over, you know, the swinging leg bar or whatever. But like, you get to a point where you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get fucked over again, or I'm not. And it's like, it's what this game is.
I mean, part of the problem is that Fall Guys does not have good motivations for internal or external progress. Like, I don't feel like I'm ever gonna get good at that game because it's just it's pure bullshit and chaos, and that's fine. That is that game. But also, the external progress is leveling up and getting more cosmetic items, but those don't really like. They're not that interesting to me. Like, if I get a pigeon costume, I think I have a pigeon costume. But if, like, once I get that, it's fine. I'll change into it. But I'm not seeking that out. And ultimately, at some point, I'm just going to fall off and just not be interested in whatever comes next besides just the sole act of playing. And I'm not sure that game has enough to it that makes me want to keep coming back to it for that reason.
Yeah, I think you'll definitely... You probably have seen fall off, and you will continue to see fall off. Because to your point, it's like, it's only got so much... depth. It's also only kind of free to play, which is a problem, right? Like, if you have PlayStation Plus, then you're good to go right now, but that's actually, I assume, expiring in the next, you know, 10 days or so. So if you haven't hopped on board or added it to your library,
get it right now if you haven't gotten it,
you got to spend the $20. And so it's a much bigger barrier than a game like Fortnite or Apex and these other games. I don't think they expected this level of success, obviously. And so it puts them in a weird position where if I was them right now, I'd be like, we got to go free to play. Let's get this model in place. I don't think you can really do that overnight because it's a small team and they couldn't take the risk before. But now, potentially, they could. I think that's the play to make. I don't know how they do that for everybody who already spent the $20 and do that in a way that everybody feels good about it. Maybe. But at a minimum, I do absolutely see this is – it stands out so much as a battle royale. It's so much fun. It's so refreshing. You've got – the biggest personalities in the world playing this and talking about it, the biggest game podcast out there, right? You know, guys?
I mean, obviously
talking
cast,
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
I thought you were talking about Giant Bombcast, my bad.
but yeah, meaning it's made waves, but I see them taking their time and thinking about a season two. And then instead of also coming back with just like a super colorful French fry costume, et cetera, they probably need to get into like theme work. Maybe they come out, it probably won't be ready, but it's Halloween themed. And like, boom, they come out with like all these cool levels and they need something to strike that. Or they need to pen a deal like we've seen, you know, Marvel do with Fortnite. And then with boom, Nintendo. Imagine, Fall Guys Marvel, you know, the options that they... are endless that would bring people back, but I don't think it's going to happen overnight. So, yeah, it's probably going to fall off because, yeah, I'm with you, Greg. I played for like an hour, so I'm like, all right, that's fun. I see a lot of ways that I personally need to improve, but it's also not dynamic enough
for
me.
My personal improvement.
Yeah, but it's not dynamic enough, in other words, for me to want to keep grinding that out versus when I play a game, any other game like Destiny or, you know, Warzone, you know, the skill cap is so much bigger than it is in this game, which is very narrow, but you can get really good, but it's just a very different experience.
I'm curious to see what the legacy of Fall Guys ends up being. But speaking of legacy, Rogue Legacy 2, who's been playing that game?
I've been playing that game.
Jealous.
Tell me all about Rogue Legacy 2.
Rogue Legacy 2 also came out yesterday in Early Access. I started playing that game. I love Rogue Legacy. Probably one of my favorite early in, I guess early, but 2013, like favorite indie games in the past decade.
Same.
If people don't know what Rogue Legacy is, it is a roguelike 2D action game. I want to say not unlike a Castlevania, but that's maybe more in theming than actual gameplay. But
it's very similar to Dead Cells.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, very similar to Dead Cells. You go through, you make whatever progress you can, you die to enemies, boss, whatever, and then your next character, which is a descendant of yours, rolls with new abilities and a trait of some sort that is not necessarily like good. I don't know if anyone like you got how recently you guys have played Rogue Legacy, but
I loved it on Vita, but that would have been back at launch on Vita. Okay. Probably was like what a few months, if not a year later.
For me, it was like 2014 where I was obsessed with it.
Because there's things I might mention as good as and these things that might have existed in Rogue Legacy 1.
Sure, I understand.
Like, basically, this game, Early Access, it's good enough, like, I feel like it starts from a place that I've not beaten a boss yet, so I don't know how far it really goes. But the major aesthetic change to this game is the first game was sprite-based. This one is 3D models on a 2D plane that look like sprites. And that makes it animate so fucking well, and the colors pop really well. It's actually a really good aesthetic style for this game.
It looks nice. Cool.
So you start off as like the general tutorial of all that, like, oh, here's how you swing your sword. Here's how you get this places. There's like a double jump kind of pogo bounce thing in this game now that's really cool and like kind of varies the level design a decent bit. Then you go into the actual cast, and then you eventually die, and then you get your descendant to come in. And I think like the first couple of descendants I got, I was just trying to test out traits. So there's stuff like this person's trait is they're an antiquarian. So I start with them, and it's a Game Boy filter. And it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is funny.
That's awesome.
Everything but like a square in front of you is blurry. It's like, okay, I get this. It's just going further and farther like that, like hypergonadism, which makes enemies like fly across the room and you're actually huge. And there's not a whole lot to say beyond what it does as a rogue legacy game. So this is the thing I don't remember was in the first game. Were there classes or am I crazy?
There was like warrior who was like bigger and souter, right? There was like different looks and like attributes.
Okay, so like when you die, you have the money to spend on building the castle up. In this one, for example,
there were classes.
Okay, so like the stuff like the ranger and mage and things like that, you can end up really screwed if you're not paying attention to the traits. So I unlocked the mage. I liked the magic school and the like. I can use a mage and ask you, hey, do you just want to be a mage right now? Like, you don't have to wait for a random roll for this. We'll just let you be a mage. This was after I already picked my character with the traits. I didn't read the traits well enough and did not realize that one of the traits was everything has a cooldown. So that's fine if you're someone just swinging a sword. If you were a mage, that made it so I could only fire a fireball like every 5 seconds, which is just the fucking worst. And it's stuff like that you need to actually pay attention well to these things. They're not just fun things that add to it. They can be real problems if you're not really paying attention to it. Obviously, it's early access. I still need to spend a little bit more time playing it.
Sure.
But I was kind of worried that, like, oh, maybe Rogue Legacy was just a thing in time that doesn't actually hold up that well. But no, this is still really fun. It is still a fun thing to go through and play. Just do my couple of runs and be like, all right, yeah, I'm done for now. I don't need to go any further. I don't need to spend 12 hours trying to bash my head against this. I've got this procedurally generated thing. This wasn't good luck for me this time. Next time it might be better.
How much does it feel like a sequel? Because I've always thought about, like, ever since they announced Rogue Legacy 2, I was always curious about where the 2 came in. Like, how, like, what do you do to Rogue Legacy to make it feel like a sequel? Because it's not a story-based game, right? Like, it's not, like, heavy in the narrative, heavy in the journey. It very much is an arcadey kind of experience of go in, do your thing. It's a roguelite. It sounds like visually it looks way better, but is there anything different aside that, and like I'm assuming small quality of life stuff that they add?
With the note that I don't remember Rogue Legacy that well, I don't feel like there's anything that blew my mind of like, oh, this is like new and huge. It's been most of the things I've noticed that I've liked have been like, oh yeah, this is just like Rogue Legacy. So I'm not gonna say like nothing's changed, but it's not like
it's not big enough that it's like noticeable necessarily. Yeah. That's good enough for me. Whenever it comes to console, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I can't
get addicted to it for a week.
Yeah, it's about $20 too. So
yeah, I hope it comes to Switch because it seems like
100%.
Oh yeah,
because it was Vita was the best way to play the first one. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. Move on, blessing.
I'm trying to think of a good segue. Speaking of defeating your enemies, EA UFC 4. That's the one I've been playing. So I really enjoy the UFC games. I played a lot of the Undisputed series on PS3. And I played like a lot of EA UFC 1 on PS4. I've not played as much 2 and 3, and so I'm jumping into 4 after taking somewhat of a break. And man, I'm really enjoying this game. Like, I think the thing for me about UFC games that I think I really dig is it combines my enjoyment of fighting games with my enjoyment of sports games. Like, it's kind of the best of both worlds. Where you are going in, you do have kind of the slow-moving nature of sports games, and that kind of, I guess, simulation nature of sports games mixed with that one-on-one, I'm going to take down my enemy feeling of fighting games. EA UFC 4 I think overall as a UFC experience, pretty good. My main issue, and it's an issue that I pretty much had with UFC games since the Undisputed series, is the ground game doesn't feel all that well thought out. I feel like these games have always kind of struggled with the idea of, hey, how do we make this game accessible for anybody who's jumping in for the first time, jumping in for the first few matches, while also keeping the depth of an actual UFC match? Because for actual UFC, actual MMA, ground game is very important, right? Ground game is like half of what's going on. And so, like, and when I say ground game, of course, I'm talking about like when you take your opponent to the ground and you're doing your grapples and you're doing your submissions and you're doing your ground and pound, all that different stuff. That comes with a lot of complexity. And I feel like for the different UFC games I've played, they've tackled that stuff differently. And UFC Undisputed, you know, they made it a thing for real of like, hey, as a player, you're going to figure out the difference between the full guard and the half guard, side control. You're going to learn the different types of clinches. You're going to learn the Muay Thai clinch and like the single collar and all this different stuff, right? And I'm going to say Undisputed 2 and Undisputed 3, the more you understood those different positions and the benefits you get from those different positions and how you can transition in and out those different positions, the more advantage you have as a player. And for me, that was very satisfying as somebody who got super into it and somebody who was like, oh man, yeah, I'm really digging this. I want to see the depth. I want to see where this goes. In EA UFC 4, it feels way dumbed down. And part of that is because they start you off from, so there's a couple different settings you can have the grapple game kind of play out in. They have like a very casual setting. They have a hybrid setting, and then they have like a more hardcore setting. And I start off with the casual setting because that's what's on by default, and I've been playing that, where it is you don't necessarily have to pay attention to what the different positions are. You are basically just going, like, if you take down your opponent, for example, you know, you go directly into like, say if you do like a double leg takedown, you go directly pretty much into I forget the name of the position, but like you're on top of your opponent, full guard or whatever. You go directly into that position. You can then press left on the analog to do submission, up on the analog to get up if you want to, or right on the analog to go into ground and pound. And they, like, that is a very simplified version of the ground game that I think kind of works for newcomers, but at the same time, for me, jumping into EA UFC 4 fresh after not playing the last two games, I still kind of had trouble being like, all right, so how do I block when my opponent is trying to come in and change positions? How do I do X, Y, and Z if I want to get up or reverse and do all that stuff? Like, that stuff still doesn't come as clear as I feel like they could be. On the other hand, when I started to kind of get into, all right, this is how I maneuver different positions, and I'm gonna tick up my grapple settings so that I'm getting into the more advanced stuff, so I can look at how do I get into full guard specifically, or half guard, or side control, or whatever. Once I started getting into that, it felt like it was providing depth, but not the depth that I wanted. It started to get more clunky than...
It just added layers. It didn't add depth. It just added more barriers.
It added more layers and barriers, and not in ways where I felt like I was thinking strategically. It was more so in ways where I was like, all right, it feels very automated, and I don't know where the automation is kicking in or not. And like, you know, it's not the most dire thing, because I think for the most part, it gets the job done. I think the stand-up game in EA UFC 4 is still fun. I think it's still great. I think it's really enjoyable. I will say, like, along with how I feel like they could improve on the clinch game and the ground game, I think the transitions between those things could be better, because the game doesn't feel as connective as actual UFC seems to be, right? Like, the beauty of UFC is that anything goes, right? And like, you don't know what your opponent's going to do next, right? Because the whole idea of it is you're coming in, people from different fighting styles come through, right? You can be knowledgeable in jiu-jitsu, or you can be a dude who's really good with kickboxing, right? Or you can know karate or whatever, right? Like, you're coming in with your own martial arts style, and you are adapting to fight against somebody who could be a wrestler, it could be like whatever kind of fighter they are. And you know, you'll have moments in the game where, all right, obviously, like, the game is in stand-up mode, and okay, obviously now we've transitioned to ground mode, but the in-between transitions of that don't feel fluid in ways that lend to the game being dynamic. And so like when my opponent is going for a high kick, right, and I counter with a low kick and like sweep them from their leg and they go down, I feel like my follow-up should feel more fluid if I'm like gonna tackle them on the ground and go for the ground game. But every single time it kind of feels stilted in a way that I feel like in previous UFC games they've nailed it more so than this one. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I've only been playing the game for about a week. I've really been enjoying it. I've not played much of the career mode. I've mainly been playing online because that's how I prefer to play these games. But that said, really enjoying playing it. I'm going to keep playing it because I'm at the place now where I'm somewhat addicted. But there you go. EA.
It always seems like they struggle with UFC games. You know, for one ill-advised year, I reviewed a UFC game at IGN. I think it was like after Nate left or whatever. And it was...
Sounds right.
I like the sport enough, but I was like, oh, the video game version of it, that'll be cool. I don't like boxing at all, but I like boxing video games kind of thing. And yeah, it's always that, how do you make a game for a sport that is so technical that in it is mixing so many styles? How do you take that and then also make it approachable for somebody who just wants to jump in and play that kind of game? And that seems to be the tightrope they walk every year, whether they get it right or they don't get it right.
Is this the only MMA game in the... like in gaming, like are there other options or is it just EA UFC?
It's just this one. There used to be other options. Like on PS3, it used to be UFC Undisputed, which was developed by THQ, and EA MMA. And then there are like weird ones like Supremacy or whatever. But those were like the two main ones. When THQ went away, that's when EA got the UFC license, and now it's just EA. And so there's not any competing ones.
They kind of coast when they're in that situation.
Yeah, and it somewhat seems like that here. Granted, like I think the game's good. Like I don't think the game is bad per se. It just feels like there's so much more it can be, especially coming off of UFC Undisputed 3, which felt like it had so much going on with it. Like that game had so many options. They had I can't remember the name of it, but there's like a different MMA league that's not UFC that was, I think it's like a Japanese league or whatever, that takes place in an actual like boxed ring. They had that, which was awesome. Like it feels like ever since EA got the license, the game's been good. Like the actual core mechanics of the game have been good, but it's not really felt as expansive or it's not felt like it's had the tender love and care that I feel like it could have. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Greg, I'm gonna ask you to talk about The Walking Dead: Saints and Sinners, but before I do, let me tell you about our sponsor. This episode of Kind of Funny Gamescast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. When you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? You don't want a random passerby looking in on you. So why would you let people look in on you when you go online? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing your door. Did you know that your internet service provider like Comcast or Verizon knows every single website you visit? And what's worse is that they can sell your information to ad companies and tech giants who will use your data to target you. ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anyone. Folks at Kind of Funny like Tim Gettys love ExpressVPN. It works on everything, phones, laptops, even routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can still be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. And the best part, using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You can just fire up the app, click one button, and you're protected. ExpressVPN is the world's number one rated VPN by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless others. So if you're like me and believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny today. Use my exclusive link, expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, and you can get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. We're also brought to you by Full Sail University. Working in the film industry is an exciting and rewarding experience. If you know you want to be part of it, but don't know where to begin, you can check out Full Sail University, where you can learn all the aspects of filmmaking and cinematography, either on campus or online. Full Sail's Film Bachelor's Degree program immerses you in the world of filmmaking from every angle. You'll gain hands-on experience while learning what it's like to work on a large-scale production from start to finish, giving you a feel for the role each crew member plays, and allowing you to specialize in the ones where your strengths and interests lay. The Digital Cinematography Online Bachelor's Degree Program merges the artistic concepts of traditional filmmaking with the technical tools used in every in everything from documentary filmmaking to commercial production and web video, preparing you to be a jack of all trades in small crew productions. These degrees are offered in an accelerated format to get you into the field faster. With hands-on projects, industry experience, faculty, and professional equipment and sets, you'll be prepared to pursue your passion. Full Sail grads have gone on to work on some pretty incredible films and TV shows like Game of Thrones, Avengers Endgame, Joker, and The Mandalorian, just to name a few. If you want to find out more about these film programs and how to get started, visit fullsail.edu/kindoffunnycore. That's fullsail.edu/kindoffunnycore. Lastly, we're brought to you by Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Greg, tell me about The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners.
You were part of it. Of course, friends at Skybound asked us to be part of the Apocalypse Games, which was us doing, you know, a stream of The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners on PlayStation VR. And it was serendipitous because obviously Walking Dead Saints and Sinners had been out for a while on other VR platforms. So many people had hit me up because they know, number one, I like VR, and number two, that I like The Walking Dead. I've been like, hey, this is actually a really good one. You should play it. When it came to PlayStation VR, downloaded it, started it, and got into the actual game, but then, you know, got pulled away by real life and never made it back for my usual excuses of, I don't want to cut off Jen, or I'm paying attention to something else. I can't put the headset on. So we got to go do it and play specifically the new, it came in the Slaughterhouse update they just put out. And one of them is the
survival mode.
Yeah, the survival mode that is, you know, wave-based. Can you make it to wave 20? Can you survive? And even though my co-hosts were really mean to me and made fun of me the entire time.
We were very mean. I apologize.
It's fine.
We pushed it pretty far. You weren't that great at the game either. And so,
first off, fuck you. You weren't really at fault here. I won, didn't I? I won my event. I stayed alive longer than
getting to round five is winning.
Six.
Sure.
Six,
sure.
Round six. All right, don't worry about
that. That's actually pretty high.
Thank you. I was going to say it's more of a quarter of the way through. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The marathon mode we were playing, and the way we were playing it with me using the axe nonstop, definitely made me sore for the next morning. But more importantly, it did really reinvigorate me. I'm like, fuck, I really got to get back to the single player, and I haven't yet. So it's not like I have deep impressions of that. But I think whenever you do VR and it's going to be this locomotion thing of attacking, you worry about how responsive that's going to be, or how accurate that's going to be, or how fun that's going to be. I think they have a good method for it, where even though I was sore the next morning from freaking out and panicking, it wasn't because I felt like the game was asking me to be too hard or too soft when I went in there. It was asking me to harden like the earlier game just the right amount to get in there and do it. And I think it was a fun mode to get dropped into and learn really how to play it. And I think, you know, the zombies were able to sneak up with me. Granted, part of that was the sound, but when they did, it was absolutely terrifying. So, I see why people like that from a gameplay mechanics level. I'm excited to get in there and actually play the story of it eventually.
Awesome. Let's see what we got next here. A Short Hike. Who's been playing that game?
I played some Short Hike last night.
Oh, tell me about it. That's a game that I...
What was that? Yeah, the Switch version, of course.
Okay. Switch version. That's the game that I started on PC because it was part of that the Black Lives Matter bundle from Itch.io. And so I started it. It was really cute, really cool. Wish I played more of it, but now it's on Switch, and so I might get back to it. Greg,
it's only about 2 hours long. Yeah, it's only about 2 hours long. It's super laid back. And it's the idea that, yeah, last year I remember in the lead up to Game Awards and Game of the Year, that had been on the, in the running. So I played a little bit of it on PC. And it, I remember, you know, I remember, I remember Patrick Klepek, who was a big fan last year. And then even this year, yesterday with the Switch announcement, was very vocal on Twitter for everybody to go play it. He had been saying, like, and so many other people were saying last year at the end of the year, like, or when it came out and people were talking about it, I should say. Saying that it was the perfect like holdover for Animal Crossing because everybody was obviously in this mood where they really wanted Animal Crossing, but that was in, it coming up in March, right? And so booting it up yesterday on the Switch, first off, it's only like it's got a discount right now at launch, so it's like $7.60 or whatever for this, you know, really cute game that does have those Animal Crossing vibes, that you are a bird on this island with a, you know, a bunch of other animals living as humans would or whatever, and it's kind of like this resort, or not even a resort, I guess, as much as it's like a campground. So there's people hiking, there's people running, there's people camping, there's people swimming in the lake and stuff like that. And the idea is that you just live on this island and you don't die on this island or anything like that. It opens with you in the car getting driven over to go, you know, be in this national park or whatever you want to call it. And then the idea is that from the start of it, you know, you want to make a phone call and the only place that has reception is the top of the mountain. So you need to get up to the top of the mountain. But to get up to the top of the mountain, you need to get golden feathers that basically increase your endurance and allow you to climb for longer amounts of time, double jump a little bit more, stuff like that. So you can actually go there. So the game is existing on the island, interacting with the other cute animals on the thing. Like I said, the people who want you to, or that don't want you to run with them, figure out how you're collecting coins that you can then buy either from the real market or the black market to get more. There's some kids playing this beach volleyball game that isn't volleyball, like I forget, it's beach stickball, I think, where you go over there and play with them, and if you do well enough they give you a reward, and it's that kind of thing where there's like these little quests embedded in it, but you're never met with a here's a quest log, here's what you need to be doing. It is very much like exist in this really cute place, you know, the weather changes as you make your way around the island and change elevations and stuff like that. You know, you'll eventually get like a bucket is one of your items that you can then use to get water to then dump on these very special looking plants that then can allow you to get launched up in the air higher and access new areas. And there's treasure chests hidden around. And I totally get why people were talking about it being this answer to, man, I feel like Animal Crossing, but Animal Crossing isn't out yet. Because it is this, hey, here's this simple objective of get up there. That's what you're doing. That's your story. But there's a bunch of other cute things to go do in it.
Now, Greg, as a professional hiker yourself.
That's me, everybody.
Is this an accurate simulation of hiking?
No, of course. I wish I could glide for as long as this bird does, because all the fucking places takes me that are way high up there, it'd be easier just to jump off the side of the mountain and glide back to the car.
Maybe but you just didn't find your magic bucket yet.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking for more golden feathers out there. Maybe I get enough of those, Fran. I can pull an Icarus, but have a better ending.
Good call.
Next up on the list, I have a triple threat here, a VR triple threat. It's Supernatural / Fit XR / Beat Saber Linkin Park. So this is split between, I think, me and Greg, because I've been playing Fit XR and I jumped a little bit into that Beat Saber Linkin Park pack, and I can start with those.
Crawling in my skin.
So I know exactly two Linkin Park songs aside from the ones that they did with Jay-Z, because I know they did the whole Jay-Z album. But aside from those ones, I know Numb. And I know In the End. And those are the two songs I played in the Beat Saber pack. And they're really fun. They're really good. I highly approve. People should check it out. I didn't play on Expert. I played on Hard because somebody had wrote in to Kind of Funny Games Daily for the post show. And they were like, oh, yeah, talk about the Linkin Park thing. And it's like, oh, I didn't play it yet. But they also mentioned in their question that, like, oh, yeah, the Expert mode seems to be some of the hardest stuff in the game. Like, it's as difficult as the Camellia pack. And I was like, okay, cool. I am not starting from Expert like I usually do because I don't have that in me.
Yeah, because if you get to the end or near the end and you lose, then it doesn't even matter.
Thank you, Imran. Okay. Thank you. I almost didn't catch it. But okay. I caught it. That was really good.
I was a little tired, and yes, thank you for calling that out. That's pretty good, Imran.
That's really good.
That's pretty solid.
I'm a bit numb
after a late night.
God damn it. The one other thing I want to point out about the Beat Saber Linkin Park pack, and this is the cool thing I like that they do that I wish they would do more, is when you're playing the Linkin Park songs, the setting I guess you're placed in for the game is like a subway type setting. And like that really kind of adds to the feel of what's going on. And I wish they did that more, because like pretty much in Beat Saber, you're put into like this virtual space and it's like all black and you got your nodes or whatever coming at you that you're smashing through, and it all kind of feels the same. Your arrows, yeah, and it all kind of feels the same between songs. I do like that with new packs they add new locations.
Why a subway? Is that significant? Or
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't listen to Linkin Park enough, and so when I was in the subway, I was like, I'm sure they got a song about a subway.
Something's going on here. Albin, they're known Albin for Mark, Subway.
It's sponsored by Subway.
Sponsored by Subway. Fresh. FitXR, I talked a little bit about last week. That is the boxing workout game, and I've been doing it more and more. And man, I am really starting to fall in love with it. Like I mentioned this last week, but the fact that you can be stationary and do it, and I feel like it's pretty fast and pretty active in terms of the rate and speed at which stuff comes to you. Because I'm playing on a combination between moderate difficulty and hard difficulty. You know, if it feels satisfying to do, the actual like punches feel very satisfying because you get your straights, you get your hooks, and you get your uppercuts, and like you get your like ducks and all that stuff, and your lunges with your dodges, like all that stuff feels good to do. The thing I didn't mention last week that I'll bring up this week is that the game does a cool thing where, because it's workout based, it puts you in these classes, and so you're choosing. It's similar to Supernatural where you are choosing a class led by a trainer, and they're giving you encouragement as you're going through. It's not as much encouragement as Supernatural, sure, but it's some encouragement.
Is
to
it
add on to that,
or is it a one-time thing?
It is not subscription. It's not even one time. Well, actually, no, yeah, it is a one-time thing. I keep forgetting that I got the game free. But you pay for it, you get the game, and they have packs that you can buy, like big song packs that you can buy. Okay. And so that's how they're monetizing post-launch. But to add with the workout element of the game, it's a class you're taking, and they do a cool thing where they have other players' ghosts in the game. And so, like, it has the feel of you're working out with other players and you're competing against them to get a higher score. But it's not like a live thing, right? Like, it's not live multiplayer. It is past data from other players that you're playing against. And you can like look to the right and left. You can see their ghosts kind of doing their thing and compete against them. And I think that's a really cool element of the game that I really appreciate. And so shout out to that.
It's like a haunted gym.
It is like a haunted gym. Greg, you still doing Supernatural?
I'd fallen off. I hadn't done it in like a month. And so yesterday I booted up, and that's why I know you're going to bring up your VR game workout thing. I wanted to bring it up because one of the things they added in the downtime were smaller workout sessions. And I wanted to give them a public pat on the back for that, because the idea before was like, you know, they have these workouts that, you know, range in their time limits. But usually, you know, I have like 30 minutes to get in there. So there'd be like a 22 minute one. And then it was like, do you really want to take on another 15 minute one? Now they've added a couple in there that are like smaller 8 minute things. And they don't make you go through the whole rigmarole in the front of like, hey, like, let's do the stretches and let's do a cool down. They are very much like, we understand that you're adding this, you're either starting your day or ending it or whatever. We understand you're using this in conjunction. And so I still want to see them add single songs so you could go through, build a playlist, or you just want to get one more song and one, you know what, and be done with it. But this is a great middle ground for that, I think.
Yeah, and I wish FitXR had the same thing in terms of being able to pick singular songs or make a playlist, because they do have the thing where workouts range from like 3 minutes up to like 60 minutes, which is really nice. I really love that. But I feel like the song selection isn't all the way there in terms of the variety and the amount. Like, a lot of it comes in packs. And so, like, you know, that's kind of the trade-off there. But yeah, I wish there was more like hip-hop or like they have it so you can sort songs by genre, and when you go to hip-hop it is like I think only like a couple of songs, especially when you try to sort down to short workouts. I think at a certain point you get like zero hip-hop workouts that are 3 minutes, and so I wish there was more variety there. But nevertheless, I am digging it. Call of Duty Warzone, who's playing that?
I'm still playing it. I don't know if you guys talked about the new season at all yet, but to keep it short, it's new season launched, had some crazy bugs in it, which they've fixed. Well, some of the big crazy ones, but big new thing with season 5 is that you can launch into the stadium, which was a coveted, you know, area we've been wanting to get into, and you can ride the train around. Ooh. And you can get inside the train station.
Love a good train.
Yeah, so a little like Apex, where you can hop on the train and move around. I actually feel like it moves a little too slow for what you'd want it to be, but you know, they always refresh like the loadouts and the guns that are dropping from the chest. I really love Warzone. I don't have much bad to say about it. You know, it's amazing what they've done with this battle royale, and it's really hooked me in. It's made me a better player. And so I have almost all good things to say about it, you know, other than technically there are some pay to play elements in the store, but I think, you know, you can let it ride a little bit, because you can earn that stuff as well. So, but it's rad. I see Andy and Snowbike Mike out there all the time. They're addicted like I am.
Do you guys think, because they announced the title for Call of Duty, the new one, like it's an official thing.
They've been teasing
now.
It in Warzone, in that, like meta, you'd get these like screen scrambles of like Black Russian text and
Is there just going to be like an option on the menu that says Warzone and then just like downloads the game from the PlayStation Store for you or whatever?
For when Cold War comes out?
Yeah.
That's the thing I can't answer and don't understand yet, right? Because they've integrated Modern Warfare, the multiplayer component, and Warzone all into this huge, you know, 150 gigabyte package or whatever it is. And is Cold War just going to show up and also have Warzone in? I mean, I would assume so, but it also, I don't know. It's weird because it kind of could fit in the narrative. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Why do you ask? Like, you just want,
I'm
just
curious
because,
they ditched.
I guess you're right. It probably will be in there. Like, yeah, why wouldn't it be? It's it didn't work that way in the past, I don't think, right?
Because they had that thing in Black Ops 4 with that, that had its own battle royale, and then they killed it or something because Warzone exists now, so I assume it's dead. But do they just kill Warzone, or do they like not have a battle royale for this?
Warzone came out as a different thing that was free to play, right? And so like you imagine that's the thing they want to live long term. And so maybe when Cold War comes out, we see some sort of refresh early next year that turns Warzone into a Black Ops styled Warzone.
Yeah, I'm curious what they like. I'm sure they have a plan. I'm sure it's not just like two teams that have nothing, like don't know what the other one's doing, but I'm just curious what that plan is.
Yeah, like honestly, Warzone is so robust that it would be hard for me to imagine, you know, yet again launching another battle royale or waiting until next April or May.
Well, they talked
about
this a little bit, right? Like in the lead up to it on that investor call, where it's just a couple weeks ago, where they were talking about how the success of Warzone has made them rethink everything in terms of marketing and why you haven't heard from it. And that the next Call of Duty, whether they were confirming is going to look great and be great, is going to, you know, dovetail with this and play with this and like maybe get announced in there. It was a whole bunch, it was all weird stuff, but it gave me the idea that they're going to continue to just let Warzone be Warzone and let this game be this game, but probably have that there is, it looks a like launcher. A download or whatever. Yeah, it's a launcher.
Yeah, it probably will just be a launcher. And like honestly, it lines up well that season six, probably, I don't know if they've even announced when that is, but it right around the same time anyway, so they'll probably have a season six, and to your point, like have some elements of it, and I'm you know, I'm sure they're working closely together, because wait, Treyarch and Raven are doing Black Ops Cold War, right?
Yes.
And Infinity War did Warzone.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm sure they work close together. But actually, too, I just was thinking about Treyarch does zombies, right? So, dude.
Doesn't everybody do zombies now?
Cold War zombies? No, zombies is a huge mode. So
I know it is, but I think everybody does zombies now, don't they?
The way you said Cold War zombies makes me think that like you have an idea for what Cold War zombies should be, like you've thought about it before.
No, Dev, it just like it sounds, it's the easiest pitch in the world. Cold War zombies, they can add yet another
why
I don't understand what leap you're making here.
Is it because like they're cold?
They're from Siberia. Yeah, exactly. They're like cold Siberian zombies that have been like frozen, and they
papushkas
have,
and
they like explode limbs off them, and sure, papushkas as well. You need cold soup to replenish your energy,
ladies and gentlemen. This has been the Kind of Funny Games Cast. Of course, we're going into the Kind of Funny Games Cast post show, where we'll be playing a game of Bless Who. That's right, the ever going, the ever long going. I don't know where I was going with that. The game that we play where we guess games based on two different things. I'll explain more in the actual post show. Greg's got his glasses on, which means it's gonna be
John
Lennon
joined the chat.
Dr. Robotnik joined the chat.
Dr. Robotnik.
Of course, I've been blessing. That's been Imran, twitter.com/ImranKhan.
Imran Zomg.
Imran Zomg. Fran, where can people find you on the social media and your Twitch and all that stuff?
Yeah, Fran.